This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Next up, mid-February is, of course, just round the corner. I don't know where this year is going. And we did talk about Valentine's Day earlier, but that's not actually the only thing that's happening.
So EPF is going to make the dividend announcement soon. And for most Malaysians, it turns out that that's their only source of retirement funds. Analysts are predicting that EPF is likely to announce a lower return than the 6.9% last year.
Yeah, Kim Ling, an economist with Sunway University, expects a rate of about 5 to 6%, saying that this is decent, even after the inflation rate of around 1% last year, considering, of course, the tough economic environment. But Pong Teng Siu, who's the head of research at Inter-Pacific Securities, Sundaram Bahad, said that his estimate for the dividend payment would be below 5%. And the reason why he's going so low is that the equity market performed poorly last year.
So I think what's concerning is that EPF has now become the only source, or rather has been for a while, become the only source of retirement funds for most Malaysians. And I think that really boils down to, one, perhaps the very, very low salary levels and minimum wage that we're seeing, and also the fact that we don't have very good financial education.
Yeah, it also comes with the rising cost of living, doesn't it? Because yeah. it's one thing how much you earn. It's quite another how much you need to survive, especially if you have dependents, especially if you have people that you need to feed and clothe and house. And so there are a lot of things that go into it. And I understand why it would be the case that it's your only source of retirement funds, right? Because it is something that's put aside for you every month. It's not something that you need to think about too hard, I suppose. It's something that's done for you.
Yeah.
But that speaks to your point about financial education.
Yeah, and really with this story also, I was thinking for myself, like, where else would I invest? You know, my parents would still prefer, and they're still recommending me to buy and own a house, if not to live in it, to rent it out. And for me, that's not so important anymore. And I don't necessarily see housing as a good idea, neither for myself nor from the perspective of ethics, to buy them, to flip them and then sell them at a higher price.
Are you someone for whom the EPF is kind of your main source of savings?
You know, for now, I'm 26 this year, and I think that question has always been on my mind. You know, will I ever be able to stop working? Will I ever, you know, be able to be at peace at 60 or 70 or whatever the retirement age will be by then, maybe 95. I never know. But, it's also like based on who my friends are. Some of them don't invest and don't really bother. And the others are more like, well, Kelvin, you have to start investing now. You have to, if not buy a house, then look at stocks. Go into stocks, put your money in somewhere that has a good interest rate.
Let us know how you feel about this news. Basically that, well, the dividend announcement for the EPF is likely to be perhaps lower than we'd like. Is your EPF really kind of your main source of retirement funding, your main source of savings? Let us know. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Rajan Devadasan, who is a licensed financial planner and the CEO of RD Wealth Creation, about, you know, trying to understand, I guess, how this works, where these estimates are coming from. So stay tuned to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We are talking about the EPF and basically how people, well, some analysts are expecting that their dividend announcement this year is not going to be very high. And that's, of course, a source of concern, because for many Malaysians, the EPF is really the only source of retirement funds. And we wanted to kind of unpack that issue. So we've got on the line Rajan Devadasan, licensed financial planner with Manulife Asset Management Services and CEO of RD Wealth Creation. Rajan, thanks for joining us today. What does the EPF do exactly? Let's maybe just start with that.
It provides old age retirement funding for the vast majority of Malaysians. When a person receives his or her salary, the employee will pay a certain portion. The employer will pay a certain portion as well. So that aggregated sum flows in to EPF for the entire month, and it is then split 70% to EPF account one and 30% to EPF account two. And some people just decide that, you know, they really like the fact that EPF is very, very safe. And they just keep their money there, and then they can actually just let it compound for a very long time. or both at the ages of from the ages of 55 as well as from the ages of from the age of 60, they can actually come to EPF. They can go to EPF and they can actually ask EPF to structure some kind of monthly pension.
So funds from EPF can be invested into other companies or assets. How are these investments decided?
EPF has an investment committee and they actually have investments around the world. The investment committee will decide on the allocation globally and also the asset allocation. And there is by law a requirement for EPF to be able to pay out a minimum of 2.5% per year. EPF has done a remarkable job. It has consistently paid well above that. And quite frankly, one of the reasons that Malaysians have among the highest national savings rates in the world is because of the existence of EPF.
And how do these investments benefit the members?
I think everybody who contributes to EPF benefits from knowing that at least there is money that is ring-fenced, that we cannot touch until, you know, we reach the age of 50, we reach the age of 55, and we reach the age of 60. Quite frankly, if it wasn't for those very, very tough EPF rules, many of us, every time we hit some kind of crisis, would just raid the bank and find that eventually we have nothing left. So EPF plays a huge role in the preparedness of retirement funding for most Malaysians.
So let's get to the meat of it and I guess my own very personal concerns. Would you say that EPF is enough for our retirement?
No, and I don't think EPF makes that claim either. EPF, I think more than 20 years ago, ran a study saying that the average Malaysian taking money out at the age of 55 would actually run out of EPF money in less than in about 3 years. Now, that's not to say that everybody, you know, squanders their money inside 5 years. Many people are able to make it stretch. There are people who have a tendency to lose their money. When people enter retirement without proper preparation, there is a tremendous sense of panic sometimes that sets in. Because for the very first time in their lives, for career salaried individuals, the monthly salary stops. And some of these people, if they're not well educated in personal finance, in financial planning, can become highly susceptible to the stories and to the wiles of people who come up with get-rich-quick schemes. So I think that's one of the reasons people actually end up losing some money from EPF. But having said that, if it wasn't for EPF, most of us wouldn't have any money at all set aside for retirement. So EPF does a great job, but EPF itself, I think, makes it very clear that you need to be personally responsible and education is required all the way through. Ideally, what we need, I think, is for financial planning modules to be taught to children, very simplified ones, maybe in primary school, and more complex courses in both secondary school and at university. I think if we do that, then for the coming generations, we'll have a better chance of actually making sure that Malaysians are better prepared for retirement.
So how are EPF dividends determined?
EPF should pay out dividends based on the performance of the portfolio from the preceding year. And like I said, by legislation, EPF only needs to pay out 2.5%. But I think if you look at the performance of EPF over, let's say, for the last 20 years, maybe even 30 years, I don't think EPF has gone any lower than 4.25%. And if I remember correctly, between 1983 and 1987, EPF paid out annual dividends of 8.5%. Quite frankly, the bigger EPF gets, the more difficult I imagine it is to generate every percentage point of dividend. But EPF has maintained very, very decent dividend rates for a very, very long time. I think actually, if you were to compare what EPF has done as a national superannuation fund and contrast its performance with those of similar organizations in other countries, I think EPF in most cases, would stand head and shoulders above the others. It is very, very, very well run.
Are there any risks to, you know, being a part of EPF?
Well, the EPF is administered by the Ministry of Finance. As long as the Ministry of Finance ensures that everything that is done at EPF level is for the people, then we don't have an issue at all. There have been lots of rumors in the past of, you know, investments made by EPF. And the truth of the matter is that when it comes to any kind of investments that any fund manager makes, and EPF, if you like, is a super fund manager, there will always be portions of your portfolio that pan out very, very well, and there'll be those that don't perform as well. But EPF's reserves are so vast that it actually does a very, very good job keeping a lot of money very, very safe in MGS, Malaysian Government Security. It also has, in recent years, I think, ventured out into the international real estate market as well as the international equity market.
Thanks for speaking with us, Rajan. That was Rajan Devadasan, licensed financial planner with Manulife Asset Management Services Berhad, as well as CEO of RD Wealth Creation, Sanirian Berhad. And if you've got any thoughts on savings and your retirement funds, let us know. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and we'll be, I guess we'll be discussing more on sex education after the 6:30 news. So keep it locked here for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.